Jesus is revealed by the opening of the heavens at Christmas. The heavens are filled with the multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. And on Epiphany, the heavens speak in a more subtle way through the light of a star that guides the Magi to the child Jesus. And here the heavens are opened in broad daylight as the Spirit of God descends upon our Lord and the Father speaks. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. So Jesus is glorified by the opening of the heavens, which reveal him again after he has been revealed. It has been revealed in these different ways in his early life, these indications of who he is. Then he has all of these years of his hidden life, that we only have the one story of the finding in the temple. And here today he is revealed again, revealed anew as he begins his mission, his preaching, his working miracles that will ultimately lead to his death and resurrection. And so Jesus is glorified today as the heavens are opened, and as he shows us the way to heaven and to glorification by our God and Father. Jesus shows us, did he need to be baptized? No, of course not. He didn't need to repent from sin, but he shows us our path by humbling himself to identify with us sinners. And he changes the baptism of John from something that was merely a symbol to something that actually changes us to become like himself, so that we too may hear that voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved son, my beloved daughter. The Lord Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but rather he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. We see that throughout his hidden life. We see that at his baptism, when he identifies with sinners, being baptized in the baptism of repentance. But I would like to consider those hidden years of our Lord as we conclude this Christmas season with the end of his hidden life. Those years in which he was living an ordinary human life. And that is part of the saving mystery of Christ, that he has taken on our humanity. Our humanity has been transformed because the Word was made flesh, because God is human. And that is all of his human life, not merely the miracles, not merely the teachings and his death and resurrection, but all of those years spent working in the woodshop, those years growing up, learning to read, learning to pray, learning about God and the world, those years that he dedicated to working with his hands and sharing in our work, that our work, our common lives are sanctified because the Son of God lived a life like ours, and he has transformed our life. Where does the gospel today continue in the next chapter? Not next Sunday, but the first Sunday of Lent, that the Spirit descends upon Jesus. He has this moment of glory, of revelation, and then as he fled into Egypt, or the Holy Family fled into Egypt, after the revelation to the Magi, or after the revelation to the shepherds, so he flees again into the desert to be tempted, to show that as in all of those years of his hidden life, he acted not of his own accord, but he was waiting on the Father's time. The Son does nothing on his own, but does only what he has seen the Father do. Jesus does what he saw Saint Joseph do as the image of God the Father for him on earth. And it's a profound thought to think of all of those experiences that he had in those years before his revelation at the baptism, before his miracles, before the wedding at Cana, when he lived a fully human life and did not call upon his divinity whatsoever, including perhaps most especially when Saint Joseph died, that Jesus in himself, he was divine and he had the power to heal Saint Joseph of whatever illness, to even raise him from the dead. But Jesus in his humanity and his humility and becoming one of us, he does not take on the divine power for himself. He empties himself and takes the form of a slave. He becomes one of us, sharing in our experience. And all of those moments when other relatives suffered, when he himself probably suffered from illness, that he took all of that upon himself and did not take the divine power upon himself, but he lived our human life and sanctified it. And so God speaks those words to us because his Son is one of us. And through him, through adoption, through the waters of baptism, which Jesus Christ made holy by his own baptism and transformed, we are baptized into his body. We become his son, his daughter. And so we hear that so often, that we are a son or a daughter of God. But it's always worth asking, has that message really sunk in? Because we say that we're a son or a daughter of God, we pray the Our Father, but then the Spirit drives us into the wilderness to be tempted, or difficulties come, and we wonder what to do when your kids are sick, as seems to be going around the school, or you don't know how you're going to meet this deadline at work, or whatever the case may be. And the temptation is to rely on yourself. But if we are children of God, then our inheritance is all good things. Literally all good things. That all that is mine is yours. You are with me always. And even if you wander into sin, you always have a home here in this church, in the house of God. And so when we find ourselves in those moments of wondering what to do, look not to yourself, look not to your own talents for the answers, but to God as your Father, to the fact that you are his child, and he desires to share all good things with you, that in fact, all that is his is yours, and that he knows how to give good gifts to his children.